Ladies and gentlemen, we've reached the point in our meeting where it's time for our public hearing and hearings. And for those of you who do not attend planning and zoning meetings on a frequent basis, our esteemed council has a few words of wisdom regarding how our meetings are conducted and how we would like you to conduct yourselves. If you would give him your attention, please. Mr. Robertson.
Thank you, Mr. Wheatley. As was stated, this is the time and the place for the public hearings before the Planning and Zoning Commission. These proceedings will be conducted under the rules of the Planning and Zoning Commission that were adopted in 1998. All commission matters are discussed and voted on publicly in open meetings. Everyone's invited to stay throughout the commission's deliberations and the meeting to see how the commission deliberates and votes on the pending applications. In addition, these proceedings are broadcast on the internet at sussexcountyde.gov. Everyone in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. Please turn your cell phone, pager, beeper, or other telephonic device off or switch it to silent service. The hearings will be conducted as follows. First, the application will be announced by the chairman. Then the director will review the application and any agency comments or correspondence that has been received. The applicant will then present its case to explain the application to the commission and may present any exhibits and testimony that supports the application. The commission may question the applicant and its witnesses. After the applicant presents its testimony, the chairman will invite public comment. Supporters will go first, followed by opponents. If there is a spokesperson or an attorney representing an organized group, we ask that person speak first. Whenever speaking to the commission, please identify yourself by name and place of residence for the record. We ask that you be concise in your statements and avoid being repetitious. The chairman does have the authority to set reasonable time limits on testimony or to terminate testimony that's irrelevant or unduly repetitive. The commission may ask questions of both supporters and opponents, but no direct questioning or cross-examination of witnesses or applicants will be permitted. All questions should be directed to the commission, and the commission may direct the questions to the appropriate person if the commission thinks it's necessary. There will be no rebuttal by the applicant unless requested or permitted by the commission. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Lank, I see that the first two items are on our agenda are the same applicant. Has there been any requests for consolidation?
Yes, sir. I was getting ready to announce. We did receive a letter on, or letter was received on January 26th of 2007, stating that the application related to the same project to be known as Nantigo. Much of what is to be said about one is applicable to the other, and that would be referencing wastewater treatment, et cetera, and they request that they be allowed to consolidate the public hearings and acknowledge that they realize that the decisions will be made separately.
All right, sir. Thank you. For those of you who are not frequent attenders of our meetings, what this means is the first two items on the agenda are the same applicant, but it's two separate applications. There's going to be one presentation for covering both of those applications. However, the applications will be voted on separately. So it is possible that one could go one way, one could go the other way, even though there was only one presentation. And that's just to keep us from having to have them repeat the same thing twice. So our first public hearing is change of zone 1605. Nantigo Properties, LLC, and change of zone 1606, Nantigo Properties, LLC.
Application, change of zone 1605 is the application to amend the comprehensive zoning map from an AR1 agriculture residential district and a GR general residential district to a MRRPC, medium density residential district, residential planned community. For a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River Hundred, Sussex County, for land lying southeast of Route 24, 2,400 feet southwest of Route 5 and Road 297, and to be located on 93.67 acres, more or less. Change of zone 1606 is an application to amend the comprehensive zoning map from an AR1 agriculture residential district to a C1 general commercial district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River Hundred, Sussex County, for land lying southwest of Route 24, 1,400 feet southeast of lying southeast of Route 24, 1,400 feet southwest of Route 5 and Route 297, and to be located on 15.73 acres, more or less.
Both these are environmentally sensitive district.
Yes, they are. and they are located in an environmentally sensitive district, as Rick said. For the benefit of the record, the applicants have provided us with a rather small booklet. Seems to be typical anymore. And they've also submitted revised plans received on February 5th, Monday. And the booklet includes an executive summary, a project overview, which includes a boundary survey, overview of current site conditions, the preliminary land use service comments, and also references compliance with the zoning regulations for the commercial area and for the MR area and the RPC, and also provide an overall area under the environmentally sensitive developing district overlay zone. And also has included within that document 33 figures, either being charts, maps, et cetera. And that is a part of the record. Mr. Chairman, on Tuesday, the applicant attempted to submit an additional revised plan, which was not within the 72 hours. And my understanding was that it was an omission and it's a correction. And I did not pass these down in your booklets. They omitted from the plots with a note appearing on the original filings. It indicated the site within the project to be an area for wastewater treatment, disposal, water treatment, water storage, propane storage, and propane distribution. And I would have to have your approval or Mr. Robertson's approval to pass that document down since it came after the 72-hour cutoff.
What was the difference on the plan? Run that by me again.
There was an omission on the plots of a note appearing on the original filings that indicated a site within the project to be an area for wastewater treatment, disposal, water treatment, water storage, and propane distribution.
But that
I think it's in the text of the booklet. It just wasn't on the plot.
Yeah, as the one I'm looking at in the booklet looks like, at least it shows a wastewater treatment area in the plant. And I'm just without spending a lot of time looking at it, I can't tell if it talks about the.
And I'm sure it's going to be shown on their presentation anyway.
But the rest of the layout stays the same, all the streets, houses.
My knowledge, that was the only corrections. It was an omission on the plot.
Yeah, as far as, it's not like they're submitting a whole new plot, it doesn't seem to me, and that was the intention of that rule, so that, people wouldn't be sandbagged at the last minute before the hearing. I don't see that that's particularly.
It doesn't seem as though there was any intent to hide anything or anything like that. In fact, it appears that they're trying to be thorough.
Yeah.
And I don't have an issue with it, gentlemen. Does it require a motion?
No, I don't think it does.
All right, Mr. Lank, we'll receive them.
So I pass those down. This application was reviewed by the Preliminary Land Use Service, better known as PLUS, on November 20th of 2005. It was also reviewed by the Technical Advisory Committee, not by the committee itself, but only in comments. They had a cutoff date of July 26th of 06. We did receive comments from the Conservation District on the 2nd of February, which I'll introduce into the record in a second. And we also received comments from the County Engineering Department today. On both applications. From the Conservation District under Change of Zone 1605. We find that the soils are mapped to be Downer Loamy Sand, Fort Mott Loamy Sand, Two Slopes, same title, Pepper Box Loamy Sand. That the applicant would be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during any construction and to maintain vegetation after completion of construction. There are no storm flood hazard areas or tax ditches affected. It may not be necessary for any off-site drainage improvements. In reference to on-site drainage improvements, it's noted that the applicant would follow sediment and stormwater requirements. There was an attached aerial infrared of the area and the site. There's also a copy of a soil survey map for the site. Comments in reference to the downer soils. There are no limitations for septic dwellings with or without basements. The Fort Mott, there are no limitations for the dwellings with or without basements. They are somewhat limited because of the restricted permeability for the septic tank use of the properties. Under the Pepper Box, it is very limited for septic. It is somewhat limited for dwellings without basements and very limited for dwellings with basements. Under the downer, it's considered to be prime farmland. The Fort Mott and the Pepper Box are considered prime farmland if they are irrigated. Noticed some different names, and that we just in the last this meeting is the first time we received the new soil types. The names have all changed, and the comments are somewhat different. From the County Engineering Department, in reference to changes in 1605, the site is located within the county operated and maintained sanitary sewer or water district, which is the Oak Orchard expansion number one area. Excuse me. Wastewater capacity is available for up to 4 EDUs per acre. The project is located in expansion number one area of the Oak Orchard Sanitary Sewer District. Regional infrastructure will have to be installed by the developer. Project is capable of being annexed into the Sanitary Sewer District. They haven't attached a copy of the policy for extending sewer boundaries for the district. Conformity to the North Coastal Planning Study will be required. And in additional comments, they state that the project is in the environmentally sensitive developing area and the Oak Orchard planning area. The county will serve the entire area project within the inland base planning area for sewer service. The county council adopted the study in October of 2006. Pipeline layouts have been identified to serve the project. The developer has agreed to build regional sewer infrastructure that will serve the project and benefit several existing communities. Regional infrastructure to be built by the developer includes a pump station and segment of a new force main to temporarily connect to the existing force main. In addition, the developer has agreed to fund a proportionate portion of a new force main to be constructed in order to serve the project and other areas. Engineering department supports the project so long as it connects to the Oak Orchard Sanitary Sewer District. And the total project does not exceed 4 EDUs per acre based on a total project size of 109.4 acres. The department is currently proceeding with the administrative procedures to complete a sewer district expansion to include the project. A public hearing on the expansion is tentatively scheduled for March 24th of 2007. Following the public hearing, the council will act on the expansion request. The county requires design and construction of the collection and transmission system to meet Sussex County sewer standards and specifications. A sewer concept plan must be submitted to the engineering department for review and approval prior to the design of the sewer system. A checklist for preparing concept plans is attached. The county engineering department requires payment of the proportionate portion of the cost of the force main and references $240,750 to be paid prior to approval of the expansion request by the council. In addition, the developer is required to provide a district expansion request fee of $2,500 prior to approval of the expansion request by council, and a concept plan is required, and that's signed by John Ashman. And if you'll bear with me just a second, I think the comments from engineering are the same on case number 1606. If I could find them. they appear to be the same, so they would be on both applications. And the soil type should be the same on both applications also. So that's all I have at this time, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir, thank you. Is there someone here representing this application?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. My name is Dennis Schrader. I'm an attorney from Georgetown, and I'm representing the interests of Nintego Properties, LLC, which is the applicant for both change of zone 1605 and 1606. First, let me begin by thanking you for allowing us to consolidate the applications because there are many things that are common to both sites. All the studies were done as if both sites were one site, and this will expedite the process this evening. And secondly, we apologize for the issue with the omitted material from the plot plan, but it was appropriate that it be submitted, and we would have covered it anyway, and thank you for that. I have with me this evening Jason Palkowitz and Holly Hearn, both from Clement Engineering, who will be providing the professional and technical data that's necessary for this application to go forward. And I have with me two representatives of the owner-developer group. They include Randy Mitchell and Jennifer Fitch, and they may be called upon to testify as to various matters as the evening goes on. Okay?
All right.
Let me begin with application number 1605, which is the application, which is the larger of the two applications, if you will. It is the RPC application. This property is owned by William Norwood and his wife Joan, and also a portion of the property going into the RPC is owned by William H. Davis. As I've pointed out to you, the name of the company that will be developing this project is Nintego Properties, LLC. We are located on the southeast side of Route 24 near Oak Orchard, and we're about two parcels back from a fairly significant intersection. At that intersection currently exists the Catholic Church. There's a Royal Farm store going in, the Indian Museum, and there's another little commercial site on the opposite corner. The proposed site of the MRRPC is 93.67 acres, and the zoning on this particular tract or tracts includes AR1 agricultural residential and GR general residential. And when we get to referring to the books, you'll note in the books there is a split zoning that is applicable to both tracts of land. There are three out parcels, 6701, 02, and 03, that are adjacent to 24 that are in the AR district and are not burdened or encumbered by the GR general residential zoning. The property is currently in agricultural use, and the proposed use that we would make of it would be of an MRRPC residential planned community, as was stated by Mr. Lang. In conjunction with this particular RPC application, there is no commercial site being sought within the RPC. And to step aside for just one second, we all know that within the RPC classification, the applicant, if successful, would be able to get 1 acre of commercial for every 100 units approved, and that theoretically would provide us with 3.73 acres of commercial. That is not being requested, and it will address that when we get to the C1 application. As Lawrence pointed out, we are in a level 2 area for the state strategies map and an environmentally sensitive development district overlay zone. There are portions of this book which address those topics. Let me at this time take you through the C1 application, and then we'll come up back and pick up the book. The C1 application is located on the property of Mr. Davis, William H. Davis. It does include parcels 67, 6701, 2, and 3, the sublots, and it consists of 15.73 acres. The intent here is to take the AR1 classification and create a C1 general commercial district that will include approximately 125,000 square feet of commercial activity at this site. As it is detailed at this point, it is 116,000 square feet of general retail. There is a 3,800 square foot site for a restaurant and 5,535 square feet for a bank. As is the case with the other application, we are in a level 2 and in an ESDDOZ, and that also will be addressed as we proceed through the evening. Two things that you should know is that both sites will be served by public utilities. Tidewater Utilities, Inc. is the franchise holder for water treatment at this particular site. There is reference to that in the plus comments. There is some well protection language that are contained in there and some responses from Macrone. And we also have a letter from Tidewater indicating that they are capable of serving this particular project, actually both projects. The second issue I'd like to address with you is the matter of sanitary sewer. When Mr. Palkowitz comes to the stand, we're going to describe this project and make reference to a wastewater treatment plant that was proposed for this project and is located on this site. That wastewater treatment plant was submitted as a part of this application in November of 2005. It is now the middle of February 2007, and as Mr. Robertson will tell you, things move slowly in the county engineering office, but they do move. And many months ago, an effort was made by my clients to enter into negotiations with the county engineering department in order to determine whether or not public wastewater treatment could be provided at this particular site. What we can tell you is that the county council recently, about 2 weeks ago, approved the process by which the Oak Orchard Sanitary Sewer District will be expanded to include this particular site and several others. Within our book, there is a map that shows what the proposed sanitary sewer district expansion will look like, except Captain's Grant. The county council 2 weeks ago decided that Captain's Grant, another project in the area that's already currently existing, will be put into the project with the opportunity to opt out depending upon how things go between the county engineering department and Captain's Grant. So what I'm here to tell you is this, based upon Mr. Ashman's letter, based upon what we know from county council's actions 2 weeks ago, and my most recent conversations, which took place with Mr. Ashman and Mr. Davis in the county engineering department earlier today, this process is going to go forward. There is not now available to me or to anyone else a revised map showing Captain's Grant, which I'd hoped I would have been able to get into the booklet by Monday. There is not now available a revised textual description of the proposed sanitary sewer district, but it is being worked on, and by March 5th, the county engineering department is obligated to post the notices, get the publications out, and on March 24th, a public hearing will be held at the Oak Orchard Fire Company, and make a decision will be made as to whether or not it's for the public good to have an expansion of the sanitary sewer district. If everything goes as we think it will or hope that it will, then on April 3rd, the county council will meet, ratify that expansion, and we will become a part of the Oak Orchard Sanitary Sewer District expansion. And as Mr. Ashman points out, we have certain contractual obligations with the county to either construct, build, or contribute funds to parts of the fixtures and appurtenances that go to that district, which we have agreed to, and there is correspondence between the parties indicating that. If that's the case, we're not going to do wastewater treatment on site with a self-contained wastewater treatment facility. We acknowledge that we got to come back at a later date and get that out of our project and change whatever we need to do to get it done. But because all of this came up only several weeks ago, there wasn't a thing we could do about it in terms of preparation or presentation other than explain to you what the wastewater treatment will be. So with that note in mind, let me introduce you to the booklets that we have prepared on behalf of the applicants. It's not something that you haven't seen before from Mr. Palkowitz and me and Ms. Hearn. It contains an identification of all of the various people who have worked on this particular project. There is a table of contents that will identify for you the various things that are in an executive summary, which begins on page one, and which I'll have Jason talk about when he comes to the podium. There are a list of figures, including 33 different documents, all of which relate to this project, including site plans, copies of the applications, vicinity maps, the land use plans, deeds, the boundary plots, various aerial photos, sewer annexation correspondence. For Mr. Johnson, the part that I always like to present to him at figures 16 and 17 is the plus comment letter as addressed to the applicant and its engineer by Connie Holland, and then the merged document that goes back to plus comments that indicates in a different color what the actual response is. There is supporting data that goes with that, including, for instance, the TMDL analysis at figure 22. There is also documentation contained in here that will address the environmentally sensitive development district overlay zone requirements, including by way of an example of the endangered species letter at figure 25 that tells us that there were no endangered species on the site. Gentlemen, with all of that in mind, I'd like to call Mr. Palkowitz to the podium.
Good evening. I'm Jason Palkowitz with McCrone.
And you are an engineer, sir?
Yes, sir.
And are you a professional engineer?
Yes, I am.
And are you licensed to practice your trade in the state of Delaware?
Yes, sir.
And have you had an opportunity to work on a project known as Nantego, located near Oak Orchard?
It's been a pleasure.
I'm sure it has. And this has been a detailed pleasure, I'm sure.
Yes.
Would you, for the benefit of the commission, describe the overview of the assembled tracks that are put together here and how they relate to the Oak Orchard neighborhood?
Okay. Do we still have the microphone that's handy?
We have a little problem with the remotes again.
But supposedly they're fixed.
No. Is there a remote down there, Shane?
Not over here.
Okay. This is the existing property. As previously mentioned, the Duke Royal Farm is over here. The museum is over here as well. This is Route 24. The split zoning is around here. Existing AR, GR.
You might want to try it anyway.
I think it's worth it.
In the back.
And the proposed commercial area is this part right up here, adjacent to another proposed commercial development. The residential development is on the remainder of the parcels. Both sides are surrounded by residential from here back and from here back. And like I said, this is commercial. There will be a tie-in to the adjacent commercial properties.
Mr. Popowitz, if you will, please, would you describe the land use planning process, how we went through, plus what happened at plus the response?
Yes. We submitted to PLUS as part of the normal process for this type of development and received their comments and responded. Some of the things they wished to change, one of the issues they had was with our TMDL. One was not prepared during when this was submitted to PLUS. They had a comment that it did not meet it. We, using their forms, we prepared a TMDL analysis that showed that the site does meet the 40% reduction required in both nitrogen and phosphorus. Another issue they wanted was, like I previously mentioned, an interconnection to the adjacent commercial site, which we provided. We redesigned the whole commercial layout to make that work. The original layout showed parking in the front setback that has since been removed. There was an existing house on site, which we have a letter stating that the Historical Society does not against demolishing it, and I think it has since been removed. They also wanted us to look at getting annexed into the Oak Orchard Sewer District, which I think you just heard the story on. And we have the revised plan shows additional delt out right away and their multimodal path along the front.
Let me stop you at that point and ask you to describe what it was that DelDOT was requesting as far as that right-of-way was concerned.
They wanted to get 40 foot from the center of the existing roadway, which means an additional 15 feet of right-of-way. And behind that, they wanted a 15-foot easement and a multimodal path put in the middle of that. And that's shown on the...
These are all being provided for on both sites?
Correct, yes.
Let me also ask you one other question. In investigating the historical properties on site here, I think we're all sensitive to the fact that this project is located in an area that's adjacent to the Nanticoke Indian Museum and is a focal point of the residences of the Nanticoke Indians. Were there any things that were identified as being a problem for this particular site in terms of historical or archaeological significance?
No, other than the house, that, no.
Nothing other than the house?
Yes.
If you will, please. I would like you to explain also for the commission the TMDL calculations and what that means to this particular site and how that relates to stormwater runoff.
TMDL is total maximum daily load. That is where we have to remove and reduce the nitrogen and phosphorus runoff by 40%. That is achieved through forested buffers, through stormwater management ponds, through the removing of the existing septic system that's on site, and treating the water either through a county or a public system.
Now, as far as the general water runoff on this site is concerned, if you don't mind stepping back over here again, can you show us where the high portion of the property is, the low, and how water will be moved from this particular site?
Currently, the high point is over here. The water drains back this way and back that way. The proposed development includes a mixture of both wet ponds and infiltration ponds. The infiltration ponds are for both typical water quality and water quantity management, but also a portion of the site is in a wellhead protection zone. And in order to help improve that, we put in infiltration systems, which gets the water into the ground.
There may have been a few people here who couldn't see what you were pointing to as the high ground, but the high ground would be closest to Route 24 and somewhere in the general vicinity of the Reed Track, and then several hundred feet from the museum. Is that correct?
Correct.
And the water flow will be away from that site?
Yes.
To the rear?
Yes.
Thank you. Are there any buffers on this site?
Yes, there's 30-foot buffers along the perimeter of the residential portion.
And these buffers will go around the entirety of this track?
I can point you.
If you don't mind.
Yes. The buffers are going to go around the perimeter of the residential. They're going to be forested.
And that will be in accordance with the county requirements also, correct?
Yes, sir.
Let me ask you, I suppose I should get you to go back up to the board again. Kind of like making you walk. If you go back to the board, let's take up the issue of the commercial site.
Yes.
If you will, describe what you've got laid out there for us.
The commercial site is what it looks like, a chocolate bar, so it's the brown building. There is a currently, as I said before, a right-of-way here that we're tying through, and it flows through the site as such traffic. There's two out parcels shown, anticipated to one at a bank and one a fast food restaurant, and the other is just general commercial usage.
And the, if you could tell us which of those two small spots in the lower left are the bank and the restaurant.
I believe the bank was...
Excuse me, Mr. Palkowitz, would you flip around the other way? Would you stand on this side so that the public can see what you're pointing at? We've got in front of, that's good. There you go. Good. Thank you.
You can turn it a little bit, too.
Sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead.
We had the same thing.
You can turn. You can tilt it a little bit, and that way I know there's some people who are craning a little bit to see. So.
You want to go back to the part where you started with the chocolate bars? And
yeah, let's pick it up. Pick it up from the chocolate bars, if you would.
Okay. From the chocolate bars. There's just a right-of-way up here. We have redesigned the site to have traffic flow through the commercial to have access to 24 out here. These buildings here are just commercial buildings, no specific uses at this point. And then anticipated a bank and a restaurant, fast food type.
And will there be any direct access from the RPC project into the commercial site?
That access point would be here.
And only the one spot?
Correct.
Otherwise, the RPC project would be not integrated into the commercial.
Correct. It's a standalone community.
And there also is intended to be a buffer between the commercial and the residential?
Correct.
While you're there, or maybe you'll need to do it from here, but there is a proposed landscaping scenario. Is that correct?
Yes. There's a conceptual landscaping plan showing a typical unit with some trees and some bushes around it.
20?
Correct. Figure 20, thank you. And we're looking at what? We're looking at a landscaping plan. It would be for one of the typical buildings.
Correct, yes. One of the red buildings you see on the overall plan. This is just a blow up of one of those buildings. Showing typical landscaping.
Do you have that on a display board at all?
No, sir.
You don't? Okay, all right.
And there was also a reference to this in the plus for comments. Was there?
I don't recall. If there was or there wasn't.
I believe there was. Let me direct you to the answer. There was a reference to this in the plus comments, correct?
Correct.
And in the response, it was the agreement of the applicant that they would comply with the plus comments and the plus philosophy of the right tree in the right place.
Correct.
There will be landscaping also in the buffer area, is that correct?
Yes.
And the only thing I think unusual about the environmentally sensitive development district overlay zone that we haven't covered is that there was a letter from someone indicating that there is no endangered wildlife on the site, is that correct?
Yes, correct. I'm not sure which figure it is, but there is a figure near the back that shows it was walked through and there's no endangered species on site.
Let me direct your attention to the issue of parking. Can you describe for me, if you will, please, both the parking in the C1 zone and the parking in the residential community?
Yes, I can go up the board again.
In the commercial portion, we're going with a one-way diagonal parking maximize the parking on site, which limits the pavement, which limits runoff. Parking is provided for the commercial site separately from each of the out parcels, which out parcels have its own parking. And on site, we have both parking in driveways and in parking areas adjacent to the buildings.
And in this case, each of the parking plans for both projects is equal to or exceeds the county requirements?
Correct, and they're all both looked at separately. Each, the residential is looked at separately from the commercial, looked at separately from the out parcels. So they all individually meet.
Gentlemen, that would conclude what I would ask Mr. Palkowitz about. I can either have him stay here and respond to questions, or I can move forward with one more witness, and you can take us all on one at a time or collectively, as you see fit.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you proceed, and then when you're done, we'll see who's got questions.
Okay. Well, I'm going to introduce
Thank you.
Mr.
Thank
Mitchell
you,
and ask him to come to the stand. And you are who, sir?
Randy Mitchell. I'm one of the partners in Nantego Properties.
And you are also an experienced real estate developer, sir?
I think so. No. Yes.
You're still standing, right? Unlike many of them. If you would, just describe generally for the commission, if you will, please, what you all had in mind by the acquisition of this property and what you hope to achieve.
Okay. Well, first of all, you probably know us. We did Stonewater Creek, Pelican Point, River Oaks, so we're familiar with the Long Neck area. On this property, we chose to do something a little different than what we've done in the others. They were all single family home properties. And on this, we were trying to fill a need. It's a tough real estate market that we're in now, but there is a need in the Long Neck area for multifamily housing. There really isn't that much. And so when we started this out, we had gotten Element Design from Lewis to do the plan for us. And we had started with a mix of townhouses and condominiums. And our first go-around, we had six buildings of condominiums that had 16 units in each, and so a total of 96. And the rest were townhouses. We had 200 and some odd townhouses. And the more that we looked at the site, we just didn't think that the condominiums would be really in keeping with the area, and we thought that maybe some of the residents living around it would wonder why we were doing condos, and we really couldn't point to where condos were close by to say we're not the first doing it. We do think there was a market for it, and But so we chose to change the plan to all townhouses, so it would be more in keeping with what was there. We're surrounded on one side by mobile homes on Leighton Davis Road. They're single-family residences, and behind us there's actually farmland and woodland. So, you know, we decided that we would go with the townhouses, and there really is a need for townhouses in the Long Neck area. The only two jobs really around where we're proposing this right now is Victoria's Landing, which is right down the street just off of Bay Farm Road and Route 40. They're currently building now, and they're in the mid-twos, I think, about the 250 to start. And the other job is Steve Anderson has one all the way, down Long Neck Road towards Massey's Landing, and he's about finished there. Now, there are other townhouse jobs that I'm probably not remembering, but not a whole lot. There's some in Millsboro, but they're, you know, we have another 7 miles. So there's a lot of single-family homes, that are being planned for the area, but not a lot of townhouses. So we feel like we really are filling a need, and we think they'll sell. What we're striving for is to have, I could either say moderately or affordably priced townhouses. And to us, that means starting under $200,000. We'd like to, if we could, now we're talking probably a year and a half from now, but I'm pretty certain that we will be under 200 to start, and hopefully we'll be there for quite a while. Bayshore had townhomes that Ryan Holmes did, and they did quite well, sold out fairly quickly. So we think the townhouse component of this fills a need, and we're pretty comfortable that we could sell them. As far as the townhouses go, right now we've planned for basically 20 to 22 foot wide. They might get a little wider on the end units, possibly up to 24 foot wide. As far as two or three stories, we're not sure yet. It could be a combination with two stories being a little lower priced, with three stories a little higher priced. So we're not there yet to know if that's a question. As far as the commercial component, it's coming up in everybody's plus comments down here and through the Office of State Planning, all the residential jobs that come up around here, and there's lots of large communities, as we know. They keep saying there's a need for commercial. There isn't enough commercial for the amount of residential in this area. So there is a big need for the commercial, and we just will fill part of that need. I mean, there's even a need for more. And as far as what's going to go in here, I really couldn't tell you that as we sit here. It's kind of laid out like this, that you might have a supermarket with some different businesses, and they were talking about banks and a bank site and a fast food. There may or may not be a need for another supermarket. There's the Food Lion that's down the street. There is a Harris Teeter is going in at Bay Farm Road and Mike Zimmerman's job, so that's right up the street. And there's also a Giant going in on Pret Dyer's job on the same side of the street. So if there's three and they do happen, there may not be a need for four. But, looking around, there are no movie theaters in Long Neck, and Midway is always crowded. I think there's a big need for something along those lines. There's a big need for a lot of things. So we're not there yet to know what's going to go in there. We just really tried to plan it the best we could. And one of the things that you should know is that above our commercial is Bob and Debbie Reed have a site that we abut. And then we go out to the corner of 5 and 24 where the Indian Museum is. There's a paper road that he has, and he has some commercial pad sites and 70-some-odd condominiums abutting us. We actually have moved our plan around so we can utilize that road, and where that'll be, if you can envision where we are, it's right next to the Boys and Girls Club. So everybody living down in Oak Orchard, even if you live off of Layton Davis, we do not have access off Layton Davis, unfortunately, but anybody living around there can come up 5, and they will never, ever have to hit Route 24, which we know in the summer can be exhausting to get out. They will make a left before the Boys and Girls Club. They'll go through the Reed property, and they'll end up right in our supermarket. And in our center. I don't know what'll be in there, but they can do what they need to do, and they can be out and never be on Route 24. So we're keeping the traffic off 24 with all the residents down in Oak Orchard. So I wanted to point that out,
Thank you.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I have just 2 small matters to make reference to, and then we'll make ourselves available for comments. I submitted to Mr. Robertson earlier this week a copy of a code of regulations, which is a draft code of regulations that is intended to express to the county attorney the self-governance that would take place in the RPC portion of this project. And within the code of regulations, there are references to the maintenance of the common elements, to the roadways, streets, drives, what have you, stormwater management, recreational facilities that are all included in this particular project. And there are also 2 notices in there, one of which refers to the agricultural adjacent use requirements. And then the last thing is that there is an expression within this particular set of regulations that the developer at the time the project is developed will enter into a management contract so that there will be for the homeowners association one management company for the entire project, which can address the issues of maintenance of grass cutting, the landscaping plan of stormwater management, and what have you. So that was sent to Mr. Robinson for his review and comment. The last comment I have is that we've submitted to you several drawings, a book full of things. We've had material submitted to Mr. Robertson. We would ask that it all be made part of the record of these proceedings. And we'll make ourselves available to answer any questions any or all of you may have.
All right, sir. We thank you. We'll see if there are any questions. And we're going to start with the gentleman to my immediate right, Mr. Johnson.
Yeah, I did that because he was so kind to provide me the combination of the plus comments and the plus response, right? I appreciate that. So why don't I start with that, with the plus comments and the response. And one of the areas that was brought up was concerning the stub streets, or perhaps the lack thereof. Some of the adjoining properties. I appreciate the one that you're proposing off the commercial development to the Reeds, but they also had expressed a request that a stub street be provided to the properties of James and Jean Norwood and possibly to the road, the Davis Road, I believe it is. And I know one of your blue comments, Mr. Schrader, saying that it wasn't appropriate for your design of your layout, but as I take a first glance at your property and I look at your right-hand corner property on that curve, if you need to go to the board.
You tell me if I'm pointing at the right place. Right here?
That's good. Yep. It appears as though that might be an easy enough place to put a stub street that would be directed towards the Norwood property.
I believe it was the developer's intent to try to keep the residential community and by eliminating a lot of the interconnections. That's why there's only one to our commercial area, so it's its own residential community.
Do you understand why they propose the stub streets and the purpose behind that?
The only reason I can think of is the future development of that parcel.
Correct, and perhaps that would help take some of the traffic off of 24 or perhaps the Davis Road in terms of folks that might be in an adjoining development that would choose to interact with the residents of your proposed development. So is that an area that's possible, or?
I
Randy Mitchell. It's possible. I've had a lot of conversations with Mr. Norwood, and met his wife today. And if that's something Mr. Norwood would like, for future development, I don't want to speak for him, but I don't think he has plans to develop his property. But it's nothing we ever discussed. So if that's something Mr. Norwood would like, we would find a place for it. He where you said, I'm not sure that's the best place. He actually, his property is all along here and along in here. So it could be anywhere along right there. We could move things around to accommodate that. I'm just not sure. And I think Mr. Norwood's planning on getting up later, and you could ask him. But if he didn't desire it, I wouldn't want to put it in. If he does, we'll do that. As far as Leighton Davis, we met with Leighton Davis Road. We've met with Delta, and we don't have any access on it. And I know of nobody. I mean, I've talked to a few Mr. Norwood's wife owns one of the properties, I believe, along that road. But I know of nowhere right now where I could put a tee that would go in somebody's residential backyard, and I don't know that would serve any purpose. So, and the other landowner I've also talked to, which is I can show you. I met with them. I talked to them several times and was at their house in Milford. I don't really have a problem doing that, but they don't really need it. They own a good bit of frontage on Leighton Davis Road. We're going to have, units going out enough that actually that parcel that we're talking about is better off coming down Leighton Davis. There's less traffic on Leighton Davis than we'll have coming out of our interior streets. So she owns two parcels there that total about 23 acres, and they have lots of frontage on Leighton Davis. So I think the only one really is Mr. Norwood, and if he wants it, we'll work that out to provide it.
Well, I don't know so much it would be a question of whether Mr. Norwood wants it, or perhaps the commission might highly recommend it.
Oh, okay. Well, if he did not wish it to be, so I guess I'm just saying he may not want it.
Question for you about the Davis Road. I'm looking at something called Wilson Myrtle Lane. Is that a piece of property, or is that?
It doesn't ring a bell with me, and it's nothing we own. But is it a road that leads into?
I'm looking at what you gave us this evening.
I believe that's a paper right of way. Nothing was ever created. Nothing was ever constructed.
It is not a public right of way.
Okay. I just wasn't sure if that was a person's name or name of a lane.
And another comment. Depending on what type of development would go in the back. These are residential driveways with parking on them. They're not intended to be through roads. So if you have a big development comes through, and these people's houses and their drives and that are intended to be for their use, it all can all of a sudden become a Route 24 in somebody's front yard. And that's another reason why we'd like to keep it a community.
Okay. And there's... I'm presuming there's going to be sidewalks throughout the development?
Correct.
And unlike some of the other developments, these sidewalks are actually connect to the multimodal pathway that will be bordering along 24?
I don't believe that is shown, but yes, it will.
So the sidewalks will connect to the commercial area as well as to 24?
Yes.
Because I know of another development that was mentioned earlier where there's a long pathway with no sidewalks leading to the front.
And that's also one of the plus comments, too. They want communities where you can walk to your commercial, and that's something that this can obviously provide.
And could you share with me what recreational amenities you're proposing? I see the pool house. And
there's a pool house and just the trail system and the sidewalks throughout the community. community are is the main things we're providing.
Any fields for recreation or tot lots or, you know, out of all the home sites that you're proposing, where might the kids play other than in the streets?
Well, there is, as you can see, open space behind all the units that is going to be a combination of fields and trees that should provide places.
I think the comments that are indicated in response to PLUS, Mr. Johnson, indicate that 62.4% or something like that is the open space area of this particular project. And if you take a look as to each block, there's a significant amount of land between the various building structures. The question is, have we given consideration to tot lots? The answer is we have not.
That's something that you could give given the amount of open space that you are showing here. It's something that you could accommodate.
I don't have the ability to commit the developer to that, but I can commit the developer to consider it.
Yes. And looking at your plan here, looks like a huge stormwater management basin there on fronting on 24. Is that to be wet, dry, or?
The initial intent of that is that's probably going to be dry, but if we can make it wet, we're going to make it a wet pond. Again, no finite calculations have been done. That pond may get bigger, may get smaller, but the initial thoughts is it's going to be dry.
Because my observation in traveling throughout the county is that, and looking at proposed sites like this as well as current developments, is oftentimes those dry basins become trash collectors and more of an eyesore than...
Well, in order for them to function, they need to be cleaned regularly and maintained. And if there's trash in them, somebody needs to clean them out, or they won't function.
And that's an area that by your design needs to be?
The initial layout, the initial design is it's going to be infiltration. If we could work it out to be wet, obviously wet is more attractive from a sales standpoint, but you know, stormwater quality and quantity, it may have to be an infiltration pond.
But based on your studies, that's considered the best location for that stormwater management pond?
We haven't done a detailed soils analysis at this point for stormwater. We've done one for the wastewater, and the area shown for the wastewater in the back, you see there's no ponds in that. If we don't have to put the treatment there, that would be the best spot for the ponds, and we would move them there.
So perhaps if everything goes as you would like to have happen with the county engineering department, that might become your stormwater management pond instead of in the front.
I'd love to have it back there.
I have no further questions, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir, thank you. Mr. Burton?
Mr. Johnson answered one question on the septic. I almost understood you, so I must be learning something on the so the septic area that's on this plan, if you get hooked up to the county, then it
we are definitely not going to use it for wastewater treatment, guaranteed, or disposal. Now we have reserved the site for other utility type uses, which was the point about the note that we were talking about on the drawings. But there's no need for us to build a wastewater treatment plant and a disposal site if we can connect to the county.
Would that area remain in open space? Or would the storm place for the stormwater management pond that you have now remain in open space?
I think the best answer I can give you, Mr. Burton, is that we knew somewhere along the line about October or November that we were on the right track, but nobody really wanted to get into what can we do with it and what can't we do with it until we knew for sure that we could get into the county, because you don't want to get wedded to the idea that you don't have a wastewater treatment plant and then wind up having to have one. The second part of this is that we have some EDU issues with the county that relate to the available EDUs for service until all of this gets itself worked out. We know we got to come back and re-engineer the plan once we get into the county. What we do with the site, Jason seems to think he's got an idea. Maybe you got an idea. I suspect Randy has an idea. Maybe I got an idea. I will tell you that I can commit the developer to consider it, but I can't commit the developer to it until all the facts come together.
One of the notes here says a water tower facility and propane storage and distribution facility. What is that?
That's a note we put on there because we don't know if TY is going to have enough pressure. We know there's a well right near it, but they may not have enough pressure for the site. Propane may be required for the community. The community may want propane. If there's no other sites in the area, we have a place to put it on site. It's sort of like a placeholder for other utilities to use the area as the site develops.
That would be a water tower, as in a tall structure?
I believe that is a possibility.
I want to remind the commission that what's before us is a change of zone. We're not approving a site plan. They're going to come back. It's an RPC. It's guaranteed to look somewhat different than it does now, and certainly those issues can't be and probably shouldn't be settled now. A note regarding a water tower on the drawing is all well and good, but it may not happen at the site plan level if you don't want it to. So,
Let me supplement what you said, Mr. Wheatley, and just to make sure that Mr. Burton and Mr. Johnson are satisfied. As Jason has said, these are placeholders. We're
right.
Not sitting here with a site plan saying that this is where we're going to put any particular size water tower or any particular size of a LP gas, natural gas, or any other facility. All we're saying is that we may come to that point where we need the site for that. And if we do need the site for those particular uses, then we've got a place to put them. But we haven't asked for that. Right now, all we're looking to do is to get an RPC, and we're going to have a preliminary site plan approval if we get through the process. But I think we're going to wind up... We get county sewer, things are going to have to be re-engineered.
Gentlemen, by the same token, they have not asked for that, nor are we granting any such permission
right.
for that by the presence of a note on a drawing. Okay, yeah, they haven't asked for it. What they have done is they have told us if they want something like that, if this gets approved, this is the likely area we would put it. Fair enough.
And I think we've spent a fair number of Thursday evenings here in the last year or so trying to regionalize utilities, and we had that experience down on Piney Neck where there was a wastewater treatment plant that nobody knew about. We're planning a wastewater treatment plant, so we're not concealing that. The rest of it is if, ands, or buts based upon what happens later on.
Exactly.
Are you planning on having garages in these units?
I think they are.
Okay.
The answer is yes.
Yeah. No further questions.
All right, sir. Thank you, Mr. Burton.
I think what Mr. Burton was trying to ask, and what I want to know, is if you don't need this area, you're not planning on putting extra units in there.
Correct.
Yeah, I think that's what you're
finding. I don't know that they could anyway,
yeah,
because of the county EDUs that are allocated to this project, they're... With the commercial, they're going to be right up against the limit of it anyway. So the sewer capacity is really going to dictate that they're not going to put
sewer capacity is 440 EDUs.
Yeah.
So we're going to know.
Yeah, and that's all they're going to get.
That includes the commercial. And if you start putting restaurants and things like that, and that takes a bite out of what you can do.
And
totally
Mr. Robertson can correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't see the county racing out to expand the wastewater treatment facility that serves Oak Orchard. And if they were to... commence a study, we'd be 10 years from...
Pretty well limited as far as...
Well, and the other thing is, too, you know, to tail what Mr. Wheatley said, this is an RPC, so it can be conditioned. So the commission, if it saw fit to approve it, could say there's going to be X number of units. And they can play around with open space and stormwater management
right.
all they want, but they're not going to be able to exceed that number of units.
Right.
And
That's it exactly, gentlemen. That's the opportunity
Thank you, Mr.
to place
Borey.
Stipulations.
That was the question.
Because I had the same question.
That's where we get to have fun.
Well, I don't have any other questions.
We may relay it out a little bit. There may be something in that particular space.
Yeah, I'm not
but
saying that,
okay.
But you're not,
right.
We're not gonna be you won't be able to add extra units. You're going to need extra units.
Well, if this gets approved, I rather suspect we're going to see you again. So. Okay, Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just have one question. The rest of them under change of zone application, I think, have been answered for me. Is there anyone here from Hickory Environmental Consulting?
Yes,
There is not.
There is not.
Can you tell the commission their credentials?
Well, I just got brought in a resume from him today. I can pass that up. I don't know if it's acceptable or not.
Or you can just tell us.
Or yeah, I can read it.
What it is. Well, don't read the whole thing. Just the qualifications.
He's certified by the Maryland Department of Natural Resources with a qualified professional status for the purpose of designing and certifying forest stand delineations and forest conservation plan. He received a governor's citation on February 1st, 2003 for a commitment to the Lower Eastern Shore Tributary Team to restore and protect the Chesapeake Bay. I'm trying to read here. As part of his duties, he's performs wetland delineations, rare threatened endangered species inspections, site evaluations on properties within the Chesapeake Bay area, prepare environmental assessments describing existing wildlife, vegetation, drainage, and other aspects of existing conditions on projects.
And he's completed a forest conservation professional training course. It would appear to me that by education and experience, he's qualified to render an expert's opinion on this matter.
You think so?
Maybe you would like to share that with Mr. Robertson, so even though it can be a part of the record, Mr. Robertson can enjoy reading it. Or at least the parts we didn't read
but
out loud.
Since it wasn't part of the booklet, I needed to have you introduce it the way you did. So you're fine.
We'd also ask that that be a part of the record, Mr. Chairman.
So noted.
The letter in the booklet references a site inspection on January the 29th of this year, 10 days ago. Is that the only trip that Hickory made to the site?
That is correct. Yeah, in all of these paperworks, we neglected that one, obviously very important thing until the end, and we had him go out and go through the site for us at a later date.
There was no endangered species noted in the PLES report either, Mr. Smith, from DNREC.
In January, at the end of January, that would not afford an opportunity for flora, would it?
If it was this week, he could probably comment on ice skating, but I don't think that when he was there that the weather was that bad. I can't remember back that far.
None of the questions.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Lang?
Just to clarify, the question was raised on number of units. The plan shows intent of 373 units. Also note that there's no commercial business set aside within the RPC area with the application. But that would be the high number. If either the maximum would be that number, 373. Look at the plan, and typically we try to look at plans for residential plan communities, and a typical residential plan community has a mixture of housing types being single, multifamily, condo, apartments, townhouses, and your plan is totally townhouse as you've addressed in your presentation. It appears to be more of a multifamily site plan than it does an RPC. Would you like to address that?
Can't remember. I think at one point we considered a conditional use on the property, but felt this was a cleaner process. It's been a while, obviously, since the plan was initially formalized. It was initially formalized having the apartment-style condos, and those, as Mr. Mitchell explained, were removed.
If needed on the record. Also take note. It appears as you entered the project for the RPC, you're showing what I would consider a collector road going into the project, also serving a commercial, but it appears by the layout of the streets, there could be a couple of ways could be considered collector, but you have parking on every street. And it could be a kind of neat little racetrack for some locals. And I was a little concerned about the way it's laid out. There's parking in every so many feet, there's another parking area, and they all back out into the street. It's not a typical parking lot that serves condominiums or townhouses.
If it were laid out as a subdivision, you wouldn't be able to do that.
Right.
Right.
We viewed them as drives, and
as we talked earlier, and having being a sense of community, and not having any other ways in and out to prevent that racetrack feel that you're talking about. I mean, yeah, there's a boulevard entering, but I believe most people are just going to go right into the commercial. The people who are living in the community will be calmed at first by the circle entering the site, and then through the remainder of the roads. They're going to be smaller, the minimum width, which is also a recommendation from Plus, I believe, to calm traffic.
So those driveways, since they're parking on it, rather than being smaller, it'd be a little wider. Because the street would be 20 foot of pavement,
right.
Driveway's going to be 24, and then you've got parking backing out into it.
Right. We're having curb and gutter throughout there to define those, the drives versus the parking. There will also be sidewalk.
Go ahead, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir. Thank you. Mr. Counts.
Just more of the same on that point. I think when you re-engineer it, you ought to take a closer look at that. Typically, if you're going to have a sidewalk next to a throughway, it's good to have parking, parallel parking between the pedestrians and the through traffic for safety reasons, or set the walkway back. Looks like a lot of it is right up against the pavement. That's all.
All right, sir. Mr. Abbott?
Just for a correction.
Yes.
A question again.
Yes, sir.
The conceptual landscape plan shows some of the units having what appears to be garages, but they have driveways going right up to the unit, and then landscape tree and a little entryway between each driveway. And then other, of course, the site plan is a little small. I'm assuming that it doesn't appear that all the units are set that way. But do they all have garages? I can't tell by the small drawing.
I believe they're all intended to have garages.
Okay, I just want to clarify that, because it's probably my hook.
All right, sir. Mr. Abbott, you have no questions?
No questions.
Okay, and Mr. Robertson.
Just when's the dates again that you think you'll know whether it's going to be part of the Oak Orchard?
April 3rd, 2007.
April 3rd.
Which is the date that's currently scheduled for the presentation to the County Council of the results of the public hearing, which is to take place on March 24th.
The reason I'm asking, because the way the proposed findings and the proposed conditions, I guess, with regard to the RPC particularly are worded, sort of a possibility of private, well, I guess our community wastewater versus county sanitary sewer district. And the way things have been developing, I'm not sure I'm necessarily a fan of that. If the commission and the county were going to act on this, it seems to me it'd be everybody's best interest to know, and I'm just wondering if there is any agreement from the applicant to wait till after the April 3rd date. Put you on the spot.
Not me.
While they're conferring, I have a question about that.
Sure.
Why do we care what he thinks? Can't we just defer it? Can't we make that decision?
Well, I'm not sure without waiting within the time frame, the 45 days or whatever.
I'm not
a
sure.
Subdivision, it's a change of zone.
I'm not sure where it takes on the 45 days period either, and I'm not sure whether we can sit here right now and tell
okay,
you
fair enough.
That we agree or disagree with what you're suggesting. The only comment I can make, Mr. Robertson, is, and I'll make this my last comment and answer your question at the same time. It's a matter of procedure for us to submit, as a part of these procedures, the
sure.
proposed conditions and the findings of fact, which we think we have proven to you this evening to justify the applications. It's with the understanding that we're ambivalent, just like you are.
Right.
If the county engineering department had been able to process the Oak Orchard expansion 60 days earlier, we're out of the woods, both you and me. But it didn't happen that
way. I know.
And so I've got to stand here and tell you I want a wastewater treatment plant at that particular site, knowing that on April 3rd it may not be necessary.
Keep going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nope. That doesn't necessarily answer my question, but it answers
okay.
it enough. So.
My suggestion is we don't need an answer to that question because it doesn't matter whether he thinks it's a good idea or not. It matters whether or not we think it's a good idea to wait. If the commission wants to wait, guess what?
you'll wait.
Well, the way this is a rezoning application, we do fall under the 45 days. It's really whether council accepts our referral for 45 days or whether they feel like they should act.
Yeah.
If we don't act within 45 days, the council can consider it a motion or an approval.
Always recommend denial.
Well, that's true. Yeah, in which case you can recommend denial and let them overturn it. Yeah, it gets a little complicated, doesn't it?
That's all.
But anyway, but no one's trying to inconvenience anyone. I just think we all want the same thing, which is accurate information without a lot of ifs, ands, buts, maybe this, maybe that. I think everyone would like to know what was going on, and that is one point that I think we all agree on. Gentlemen, thank you. We done, Mr. Roberts?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much. If you would kindly stand by, we'll see if the public has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of change of zone 1605 and 06 Nantigo Properties, LLC? Anyone in favor? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition? Opposition. Yes, sir.
Not sure.
You have to.
Well,
sir,
I'm sir.
Yes.
You can't speak at all unless you come up here. Okay. Tell us who you are, and then we'll figure out which way you're going. Okay.
I'm James T. Norwood.
Okay.
I guess I represent two outfits. First of all, chief of the Nanticoke Indian Tribe, which we have a little concern on the museum. Secondly, I'm the James T. Norwood that's a property owner and adjoining the rear part. I had just one of my questions or concerns was, and I had talked about it a little bit, was the buffer that's coming around, which joins me on the rear property. And I'll give you my reason why, I would like to see some type of probably a berm with trees and possibly a fence. Am I expecting elephants to come through? No, that's not my purpose. Right now, from the trailer park and stuff, I look at it as an inconvenience or an aggravation one way, but a liability thing on the other. From the Oak Orchard West trailer park there, I seem to get a lot of the mini bike, the motor heads or whatever, crossing over, running backward and forward with what's there now. With you add more to this development, without a way of containing them into that, that was one of my concerns. I would like to see probably, like you said, fence, berm, trees between the three. If it's just trees, I know I've seen how to do it before. If one little branch breaks in through there, you go and you've got an entrance way and that goes on. That was one of my things. The other thing was I was concerned about who services the power to it. And my reason, whether it's DP&L or the Delaware Electric Co-op. And my concerns with for that is because right now where I live, I'm fed off of the 24 across the field. I don't have a problem with if they want to reconstruct it, bury it for beautification or whatever. The only thing, I do not want to go away from the co-op as my provider. It comes from there all the way across Ariel and drops in.
And our understanding is that the property will be served by the co-op.
That answers that one right there. I had one other little thing. I never got it as a property owner. I never got notified officially of the hearing. I don't know why I got it from a roundabout way there. I don't know where the ball dropped, but if there's future ones coming up, I think we would... It could have been a mess up in the mail. I'm not saying what, but we didn't get that part there. Oh, and I think when I said about the museum, I was concerned about, and I'm not opposing anything now, but I was concerned with all the surfacing being done, the blacktopping, concrete, whichever it might be, the next property over is low. And however, if water's not going through the ground with the blacktop, what's going to, the water stands out there now, what happens, you know, and it would flood our museum, which is on the National Register, as most of you know. That was a concern I had right there. Other than that, that was mainly my concern there.
Okay. I'll try to get somebody to address those for you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Mr. Palkowitz, I guess, or Mr. Schrader, somebody, the gentleman's two concerns were a fence and stormwater runoff. Somebody could speak to those issues for?
I'll take, no, you take stormwater. I can't begin to tell you how much fence we're talking about here, Mr. Wheeling, but it looks to me like we're probably looking at upwards of a mile or more if you were to go around the perimeter of 100 acres. And I'm not sure what the limitation was that the gentleman was asking for in terms of distance. I did pick up one, and I agree with and understand fully what he's talking about, ATVs or wheel-powered vehicles operated by children who can't afford a driver's license, but who can afford to go out and buy a little piece of equipment that you should be taking deer hunting and turning it into a racetrack. And I think that the best I can offer right now is that a fence would be terribly expensive and would be inconsistent with what's typically done with RPC projects. I think the idea of a forested buffer is to provide screening, but it may not be the answer that this gentleman is looking for, and I'm not sure quite what the solution is, whether it's a small berm or if, and he suggested a berm when he started out, but I'm not so sure a berm wouldn't provide a jump. So,
and again, because
I'm not sure we can answer that at this moment.
Because the gentleman raised the issue, I wanted to ask you about it. However, this is a little bit beyond scope of this public hearing, but please be aware, you've been certainly been put on notice that your neighbor has an issue, and it's, if this gets approved, we would like you to consider addressing it in some form or another in your final site plan.
Mr. Palkowitz will deal with someone then.
Currently, as I've discussed earlier, the high point of the site is here, and the natural drainage is back away from 24. All of our stormwater facilities are going to try to direct it that same way, which is pretty much the county standard. Where water goes currently for development, you need to bring it to the same place after development. So it's either going to be sheet flow this way, and it's going to be infiltrated on site. No water from this site should be heading that way.
Okay. Mr. Norwood, the important thing that he said was that they have to contain all their stormwater, has to stay on them, so they can't run it the other way. So it shouldn't make the problem that you're experiencing any more severe than it is now. Anyway, that's because that's what the law requires them to do. Not that what the rest of you said wasn't important.
Well, he's also making reference to the property next door, which is a Route 54 and 24 and 5 business park or whatever.
Yeah.
The Reed property, and it's a separate track. But they have to follow the same criteria that they have to maintain their stormwater on site. They can't outfall any more than what's already outfalling from that property.
Yeah. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Does anyone on the commission have any questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to spend the rest of your Thursday evening with us to see if we make a decision, or you may just wish to call the office in the morning.